Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of the future of Islam. First of all, thank you for joining us in the last 30 broadcast to cover the lecture of Professor John Esposito, which he gave in the University of Kentucky. This was a lecture given on September 10, 2014. We promised you in our last broadcast that we will continue to look at the question and answer session. There were six important questions which Professor Esposito will not answer. Once again, there are very important six questions will be given to Professor Esposito, and he will do the best he can to make sure that he will not answer these questions. And I'm surprised that they are opening the floor for questions, but this opportunity was given in a tricky way. What do I mean by that? Listen carefully to the moderator. As he stated,
we're going to have a question and answer period. We're going to ask you to fill out write your question out. We have some student helpers going around. So fill out a form, the card, and we'll bring them up here. We'll go for about a half an hour.
Here we go, America. Fill a form, fill a card, write your question and bring it to us here, and we will pick up which questions we will answer for you. It's not like what used to be, an open mic, a hot mic in the middle of the floor, and students will walk to the mic and ask their question. Why do they no longer have the open forum for questions and answers? Because they learn from the previous mistakes of the past. In my lectures, when I give my audience the opportunity to ask questions, I don't ask people to write a question on a piece of paper. I will ask them to come to the mic and ask the question. And if I do not have the answer for that question, I will do my best to answer it by email, the latest by the end of the day. But with Professor John Esposito, the expert, the most scholar you can ever have to do these lectures, he will not take a direct question from his audience. Why? Because he does not want to be challenged. And here is the first question from the moderator himself, which is a very important question. A question about ISIS. But as I said earlier, here is question number one without answer. And neither the moderator or any of the audience learn any truths about the first question. So without further ado, here he is, the moderator with his first question.
And let me start, though, as we start getting the questions here, let me start the questioning by asking the question about ISIS.
Yeah.
Or ISIL. And by the way, ISIS, ISIL, Islamic State of the Levant is where you get ISIL. And it is the more proper translation, actually, because the Arabic, Dawla Islamiyah fi al-Iraq, was Sham. And Sham in Arabic is both Syria and Lebanon. But I guess who wants to think of the prospect that they actually want to take Lebanon also? So
while the moderator is about to give his question, he is assuring the audience that the name ISIL, I-S-I-L, is the perfect translation for the word Daesh, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant. Now, if you don't know where is the Levant, the moderator already told us it is the area which covers Syria and Lebanon. It is the northern part of the border of Egypt all the way to the border part of the southern part of Turkey, which it just happened to have the state of Israel in the midst of it. All this land is known to the Muslim by Al-Sham, the Levant. And the moderator is telling his audience, ISIL, it's a perfect name. At the same time, he is talking in a way as if he is not very happy about ISIL or ISIS, because how dare they even think about taking over Lebanon to be part of the Islamic State. Notice now, by this time of the question answer session in this lecture, we're talking about September 10, 2014, ISIS was already not just in Iraq and Syria, but in 28 Muslim countries. And how was he able to accomplish that? That is when Mr. Barack Hussein Obama gives them the green light. Go for it. Take over the Muslim world and accomplish your Islamic State. But the whole idea of why Mr. Barack Hussein Obama used the name ISIL and not ISIS, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, is because neither Obama nor ISIS members believe that Israel has any right to exist where it is at. For all Muslims believe that Israel is occupying this land. They have no right to be there because they're simply occupying the Muslim land of the Palestinians, which is another study for another time. But for now, we have to understand that ISIS or ISIL members and Mr. Obama are in agreement that the right name is ISIL, not ISIS. Even if the whole Muslim world call it ISIL, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama should never use the same name. Why? Because when he said that, it is like he's in agreement with them that they can take all the land from Iraq to Lebanon. In the beginning of the expansion of their territories, Mr. Obama disregards their existence as if they were little boys who are playing in the backyard of somebody's house and they have no power or authority to take over any land. But later, Mr. Obama was in agreement with them on the name ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, and the purpose of that was that Israel should never exist. And if the Islamic State can move from Iraq to Syria to Lebanon and demolish the existence of Israel, that will give the Muslims the final victory, as they believe this will happen someday before the end of time, when the Muslims will kill the last Jew who live on the face of the earth, as many of them are happy that they are gathered for them in their own home country, that is Israel land, that they don't have to go all over the world to hunt for them, but they can kill them all in one spot, that is in the land of Israel. But before the moderator gave his question, once again, here he is, Professor John Esposito, to make a comment about the name ISIL or ISIS.
That is part of the problem. If you look at their statements, they see themselves as not only taking Syria and Iraq, but on their agenda is moving into Lebanon. And in fact, there has been some movement into Lebanon, and also moving into to Turkey. So in that sort of immediate area. And I was just speaking in Washington recently, and indeed there is an attraction and some movement in some other countries, like Indonesia, etc.
Yes, indeed, Professor Esposito. It is a part of the problem, for they see themselves as a growing Islamic State in planet Earth, as it was in the early days before World War I and World War II, when Muslims were not broken by borders between all these Arab or Muslim countries, but it was the Islamic State. And they succeeded to do that because your man, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, in the White House, was doing nothing about it. He was just ignoring them. Call them whatever names you want to call them. He disregarded them. While they were marching from two countries, Iraq and Syria, as I said earlier, to 28 Muslim countries. And if it was not for Mr. J. Donald Trump, who came after Obama, right now, we would have seen the Islamic State in the whole Muslim world. We would actually have seen the expansion to Europe, and maybe they have some bases here in America. This was the best opportunity for the Islamic State to exist in the world and to grow, which is having a Muslim or a liberal president in the White House. But we once again will say thanks be to God that he allowed another man to take Mr. Barack Hussein Obama's job, that is Donald Trump, who ended the existence of ISIS in few months by doing real war, by wiping out their bases. Not like what we're going to be seeing in the near future under Mr. Joe Biden, who will give the Muslim jihadi worldwide the green light, not only to accomplish their stay there, but to bring them here to America, as we just have to leave our borders, the northern border of Canada and the southern border of Mexico, open and allow the Muslims to come from every Muslim country, including the ones which Mr. Trump banned Muslims to come from, because we cannot vet these people. They have no paperwork and there is no questionnaire you can give to them to know which one of them belongs to the Muslim terrorist organizations. And as we all know, that ban ended day one when Biden came to power. So now we know that now Muslims can come to America from any part of the world without any vetting, legal or illegally. The expansion of the ISIS empire in the year 2014 under Barack Hussein Obama. That is 6 years after Mr. Barack Hussein Obama took over the White House. The Muslim Brotherhood were already in 28 countries. They were in Indonesia, and they were in Turkey, and they were in Lebanon, and they were in Egypt, and they were literally all over the Muslim world.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now let's move to the question. Because so far, Mr. Esposito did not even hear the question to answer. So here is the question from the moderator.
So the question is that we have to admit that ISIS and radical Salafi jihadism, or whatever you want to call it, this extremism, is a problem in the Muslim world.
Yes.
How do you understand that problem? And the big question is, what should our policy be? After all, we did ask Obama to postpone his talk to 9 p.m. so we could respect John's talk.
I called Michelle. It was no problem.
And he agreed. So, you know, you're not going to miss President Obama's presentation of his own strategy. But what would be your advice to how to...
So what was the question? The question is ISIS and radical of some Salafi jihadism, or whatever you want to call it, it is extremism, is a problem in the Muslim world. And how Professor Esposito understands that problem, and the big question is, what should our policy be after all? What should be the advice of Mr. John Esposito to Mr. Barack Hussein Obama? Wow. Obama is going to receive advice from Mr. John Esposito of how he will fix the problem of ISIS in the Muslim world. Don't you love that? We have two problems here. First, the man who's going to give the advice is not qualified to give any advice. That is Mr. John Esposito. And the man who will receive the advice is not qualified to receive any advice. That is Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. That's why Obama finished his second term and he did not do anything right about ISIS. But what he did was the opposite. He actually gave the Muslim jihadi, ISIL or ISIS, the green light to grow and expand their territories from two countries. These are the countries of Iraq and Syria, to 28 Muslim countries. So here's the reality. Why can't we get somebody who knows Islam, or somebody who's not paid by the Saudi Muslim the millions of dollars, to give Mr. Obama's advice? Or better than that, why not we just give somebody else better than Obama the right advice to take care of the problem of ISIS? But the question is given in a tricky way. First of all, when we say radical or extreme or fundamental Muslims, as I said to you before, I repeat, these are not negative words. These are the reality of what a true believer ought to be. If you are a Christian or if you are a Muslim, you must be radical. You must be extreme. You must be fundamental. There is no such a thing as a lukewarm Muslim or a lukewarm Christian. The Bible does not promote that, neither the teaching of the Quran. To follow the book, to practice the teaching of your book, you have to be fundamental, you have to be radical, and you have to be extreme. Hates them all the way or loves them all the way. In Islam, you have to hate the infidels all the way to wipe them out from the face of the earth. Why? Because Allah said so. And you cannot be a true submitter to Islam unless you practice the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. Now, if you are a Christian, you must love them all the way. Who? The one who loves you. No, you got it wrong. We love those who hate us. We love our enemy as Christ loved the whole world and died on the cross for the sin of the world. We Christians must show our love to the Father in heaven to look like him and to be like him and love the enemies. Why? Because Christ commanded us to love our enemies. A fundamental Christian, radical or extreme Christian, is the one who looks exactly like Jesus, and a fundamental Muslim or extreme or radical Muslim is the one who looks exactly like Muhammad. So, the question once again by the moderator is, we have some true Muslim believers who are practicing the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. How do you, Professor Esposito, understand the problem of ISIS? And what advice are you going to give to Mr. Obama on how to deal with ISIS? And now, here is the answer from Mr. John Esposito.
Well, the difficulty we have with ISIS, I mean, first of all, when you have deep grievances, and by grievances, it's not just, I don't like this. It's based on reality. That is, when you have situations where tens or hundreds of thousands of people wind up being killed, when you have drones that not only take out terrorists, but wind up killing far more civilians, wedding parties. When you have a policy that at one point was stated as, how did it go? If you were looking down and you were looking at somebody between the age of like, what was it, 15 and 40 or 45, if they were young people, you could presume that they might be terrorists in terms of a drone attack. You have people that then have grievances, but you also have people who come along and exploit.
This is the early portion of his answer. And Professor Esposito is telling us in America that the problem is not in ISIS. The problem is in the USA. We are the problem. We are the one who brought the grievances to these wonderful, loving, peaceful people. And because of us, they became these radicals whom we are fighting. So, how we treated the Muslim people in Iraq and Afghanistan makes the Muslim jihadi extremist, radical, or fundamental. The man is so foolish. He does not have a clue that the hatred of the Muslims to the Americans, Christian and Jews, or to the Christian and Jews of planet Earth before the existence of America or the state of Israel is there in their ideology, in their beliefs for the last 1400 years. Professor Esposito does not have a clue what he's talking about. It's like somebody was blinded with all these millions of dollars that he could not find anything wrong in ISIS members or in any Muslim jihad organization. We are the problem. America is the problem. We killed all those who were between the age of 15 and 45 with our drones. That's why they hate us. That's why we have a problem with ISIS. Do you get it, my friends? When I say that he is not a man who's qualified to give any advice, I mean it. You're bringing somebody who have no clue what he's talking about, or he's the best deceiver and he is going to twist everything and turn everything around to make the problem in us, not in them. As if we are the one who started September 11. As if we are the one who performs the terrorist activities in the last 50 years all over the world. We are the problem, not the Muslims. You see, in his own words, these are the people who have deep grievances. that grievance is not just based on reality, that it is when you have a situation where 10 or 100 of thousands of people wind up being killed, when you have a drone that not only takes out terrorists, but wind up killing more civilians, as if we are the one who started the war. Yes, indeed, Professor Esposito. If it was not for America, we would never have seen ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Fatah or Hezbollah or the Brotherhood or Al-Shabaab or Boko Haram or any of these millions of Muslim followers, those who believe and practice the command of Allah to terrorize the Jews and the Christians and kill them wherever they find them. My friends, the command of the terrorization of the non-Muslim world is given in the Quran 1400 years ago. And it's given by Muhammad in the Hadith 1400 years ago. At that time, there was not the State of Israel and there was no America. But Professor Esposito got the whole thing backwards. We are the ones who brought the grievances to the peaceful, loving Muslim world. And now we are the ones who are responsible for the terrorist activities of the Muslim world. What a crazy, nonsensical man. This is just the beginning of his answer for the question about ISIS. And as you see, Professor Esposito blames everybody in the world, but not Allah or Muhammad, not Islam ideology or the Muslim victims who are practicing the Islamic ideology. And to continue our critique to the question and answer session, please join us again in the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.